Hello and welcome to the Paddock Bees podcast. I'm Tim Nash, a beekeeper always wanting to learn more and also the man behind the Paddock Bees account on Instagram. This is a podcast for those who've fallen into the beekeeping trap and want to learn a little bit more from the beekeeping community. Each week, we'll mix up the guests and provide some insights into the world of beekeeping. So sit tight and we'll soon make a start. Hi everyone, thanks for joining this bonus edition of the Paddock Bees podcast. We'll follow the same format as the other sessions, but with a slight twist. So here's a question for you. How closely do you look at the honey you put in your basket? Do you know where it comes from? Look closely and you might see that you're buying a blend of non-EU honey. According to a Honey Association report, in recent years, overall consumption of honey has risen markedly, but only 10% of demand can be met by home production. They go on to say, imported honey accounts for approximately 90% of the United Kingdom market. So today's podcast is going to focus on the work of the British Honey Shop, who have been working hard to match up consumers with local beekeepers. Bridie, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
So we're going to start with a slightly different question this week. Are you a beekeeper?
Do you know what? I'm actually not. I can't even pretend to be either. I've just met a lot of beekeepers and they've been kind enough to share a lot of information with me. So not a beekeeper, but I feel like I know quite a lot now just from being around them. So yeah, hopefully in the future, when I've got a bit more time perhaps. But
so not a beekeeper, but you've picked up a lot of knowledge from beekeepers. Where did you get the interest in beekeeping from then?
I just love honey. I love food, I love cooking. So just honey is like, it's in my diet weekly, like all the time. I get through so much of it. I kind of looking on Instagram, following different accounts, and just kind of the more I read up and learned kind of snippets of information about beekeeping and bees, I just kind of gained more interest. The thing that fascinates me with bees and the more I like learning is just like the roles they take on in the hive. I just think that's so interesting. It kind of grew from that. The more I learned, the more I just thought they were pretty cool, to be honest. Kind of like ants, you know, the way ants work together. It's very similar. So
perfect. Well, yeah. I think there's probably quite a few listeners out there thinking, where are you going with this today, Tim? You've got a non-beekeeper on who's interested in beekeeping and honey. So where are we actually going to take it? Well, to put everyone out their misery, today we are going to be talking about the British Honey Shop. And this is something I think every beekeeper, UK beekeeper, should know about. This account is going to be one of the key ones that you should all be following on Instagram. So let's open it up. What is the British Honey Shop?
So it's basically a collection of British honey, and it's a way of bringing together all the honeys that are out there onto one platform, and in a way that looks consistent. So they're all brought together under the website, which is called britishhoneyshop.co.uk, and then on there there's like a tab for different regions of the UK, so you can click on a region and then underneath that it will bring you up all the honeys that I've found so far for that region. So they've all been photographed to look the same, so they look nice and consistent. And then when you click on it, it's got a description about the honey, the name of the beekeeper, where the hives are, and then there's a link to where you can buy it, basically. Or in some cases, it's even like the email address of the beekeeper, or I think there's a couple of phone numbers on there as well, actually. It's just a way to bring them all together. And it's not just honey. There's like kind of honey based products, so beeswax wraps, there's a couple of balms on there. that's what it is at the moment. Hopefully it will grow,
Perfect.
but
And so what is your motivation? For anyone who hasn't looked at the website, definitely go over there. You'll see a whole host of different honeys. But obviously with being a non-beekeeper, you're not bringing a product to market and you're not trying to reach the consumer yourself. So why did you start it?
Well, originally, if I'm being honest, I did think in my mind that it could potentially be like a wholesale business. But when I started going to meet different beekeepers, they're quite honest and upfront and saying that they do it more for the passion, they just enjoy doing it, or it might be a side project, and they don't actually really make massive profit from it. And they know they're not going to either. So the more, that I talked to beekeepers, I just thought trying to do it as a wholesale business was, it just felt really wrong. And just really not, just not the right thing to do. So I kind of switched it to just like, just be this platform in the end with all the honeys on there. And it's just been really nice to get to meet everyone. Beekeepers are actually, I find it's really fascinating what they actually do on the side, in terms of their career. I've not met a boring beekeeper yet. They're all super interesting. And yeah, it was more just the way of showing like, just how diverse honeys are. There's just such a range across the UK and just not what you see in the supermarket. It just really is not reflective of what is out there and what you can buy. I think I
No,
verged off the question
look,
there, Tim. Maybe you can
no,
like steer
it's
it back
absolutely
in.
fine because obviously, just by talking to you, obviously, just understanding the passion and understanding the backstory. And I think that this is really what I want to convey to people out there. Actually, the work that you're doing is for their benefit and actually just joining up that consumer to beekeeper. And when, yeah, people do go into the supermarket, it's not going to be our honey as beekeepers, which is on the shelf. And I think at the moment, when so many people are moving to virtual shopping and just accepting what's easy to click on the virtual basket and have delivered, there's no more important time than now just to let people, both consumers and honey producers, beekeepers, know how to make that connection. So is this something that's been going on for a while, or is it all relatively new?
I think I started the actual, because I started with the Instagram page, and I think I set that up in May 2019, I think. But it was last year when, I mean, I was on furlough, like I'm sure a lot of people were, and obviously had a lot more time at home. So I thought, I really want to kind of evolve this page and meet more people. So yeah, I set up the honey cupboard count whilst I had the time, and yeah, it's just I mean I fit it because I do work full time as well, so I kind of fit it around my work and then try and do a bit more on the weekends perhaps, but yeah, so it's still very much a side project, but maybe in the future it could be something more,
Definitely.
I'm
Well,
not
look,
sure.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. And you've dropped in there the honey cupboard count. So if people on Instagram search the hashtag honey cupboard count 2020, what will they find?
So it basically is, the collection of the British honeys. And then hopefully, if there's anyone that wanted to join, for me, hashtags are a great way of finding people and pages that you would never normally find. So you could just tag like a honey, or if you've got, I don't know, a friend or a family member that they're not necessarily on Instagram, but they produce their own honey, maybe just like post a photo and then I can find it with this honey cupboard count hashtag. It's just a way of linking up across the UK what is out there and trying to bring it all together into one place. So hopefully when you hashtag it, you'll find all these British honeys that you can click through to the beekeeper's page, find out where they sell it, or
And so 2020, what was the final number that you managed to get into the cupboard? How many honeys did you have?
It was near to 70 in the end. So originally I was going ambitious with it. And I thought maybe I could get nearer 200. But it's just, I think it's kind of what you said earlier. It's very hard to find a lot of beekeepers, especially online. There's not an easy way to try and find beekeepers in one place online. So I'm hoping, you know, going forward to build on that number of 70, because I think there's, is it 22,000 hobby beekeepers?
Yeah, something like that.
So,
yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, yeah, like they're definitely out there, but it's just finding them, because I think, you know, a lot of people only have a couple of hives or whatever, and they just have absolutely no need to promote themselves or sell their honey, because they just sell it all anyway locally to their friends and family. So I completely understand there's no need for them to be online or, you know, use Instagram. So
before any smart people go on the website and they don't find the Paddock Bees honey, that was my position last year. So I don't want anyone emailing, but hey Tim, you're bigging up the British honey shop, but I can't see your honey on there. But look, that was my position last year, but this season I'm definitely going to be getting my honey in there and getting it online.
That's fine. And do you know what? It was surprising. There were a lot of people last year that did message to say would like to be involved, but either like, I think I'm too small, I don't produce enough honey, or yeah, we simply already kind of sold out. So yeah, there was, you know, but then I thought that does highlight it. There is absolutely the demand out there, and there's not really any beekeepers that are left with honey at the end of the season, it seems. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure if more people knew where to buy British honey and there were much more on the website, hopefully it would help.
And I think at this point it's important just to highlight, because for this episode there might be a number of people who don't really appreciate when honey might be harvested, when you can get hold of your honey. So I think it's interesting just to pick up on the fact that there's definitely runny honeys out there, so people will expect to see a summer runny honey, but there's also a spring honey as well. And there's lots of things that you can do. You can do soft set honeys as well. But for those non-beekeepers who are tuning in onto this episode, when do you think that they should be trying to be buying their honey? And I'm testing you now based on all your conversations with those other beekeepers.
Well, I mean, I personally would start looking in March, April, you know, especially when all the rapeseed comes out. A lot of people do an early harvest, but it depends whether that's the type of honey you like. I think it just depends through the season. It does vary so much, the honey that is harvested. So like for me personally, my favorite by far is heather honey, which will come out later in the season. But yeah, if you like, I know like summer honey doesn't tend to set quite so quickly. So, you know, if you really do like that kind of sweet runny honey that's going to stay runnier for longer, then you probably want to be looking more kind of like June, July, August time. This is from what I know. I've probably got beekeepers.
Yeah, you're doing well. I'll put you on the spot here.
From what I've picked up, that's what it is. So, and I would just think like once you find a honey that you love, like buy a few jars of it, like, because when you go back to buy more, it's just the way it is, you know, that it might have sold out, or you know, it's on to the next harvest and that's might be a completely different flavor or texture. So I think when you find a honey you like, just stock up on it, because you might not get it for another year. So
I've even got that with my own.
Try different things.
My daughter made me open my reserve the other day for her toast. And I thought, oh, you are getting spoiled this morning. But yeah, when it's gone, it's gone.
Exactly. And it's like my uncle absolutely loves honey as well. And a honey taster as well. And, you know, I've given him different jars. And there's some that he absolutely loves, and then others he'll just say like that one just isn't for me, and then he'll give me the jar back. So it's just personal preference and what
definitely,
everyone likes.
Definitely. And so you made a good few points there for the rapeseed. Yeah, that's an early harvest, and then you'll get your spring honey, which goes through to June, and then you get what the beekeepers get, which is the June gap, when there's not much around. The spring flowers have come to an end, the summer flowers haven't really started yet, so that's when we need to be pretty careful and make sure that the bees aren't starving, because the colony is huge at that point. And then we're into the summer run, and then that takes us through to August, that people would probably lift that off. And then yeah, after that you've got the heather. So that's the calendar. And yeah, different beekeepers will take the honey off at different point within that window. Brightly, now you've tasted so many different honeys, is there one that you make sure you don't run out of?
For me, I always have, it's from Scottish Bee Company, and they have this heather honey, which is my favourite. But then Simon from Noble Bees also has a heather honey, so that one is pretty much up there as well. But the other thing is this is why I like Scottish Bee Company, because they also do candles, which are just, they're honestly the best candles ever, like better than Jo Malone as well. So I like them because they do the candles and the honey. So yeah, they're pretty good.
So Simon's agreed to take part in the podcast. So Simon, there's your first shout out. So can't back out now, Simon. Bridie's committed you to do this. So we've spoken a lot about, obviously, the focus on 2020 and what you're able to achieve. So what's the plan for the British Honey Shop in 2021?
I would like to. I am going to run the honey cupboard count again, to hopefully, yeah, get up to 100 honeys would be amazing. So I'll start that in kind of March, April time. But it would just be good over the summer this year to get out and meet more beekeepers and just kind of collaborate a bit more. I'd like to, like my brother's a gardener, for example, but I would love to go and meet like some other gardeners and just kind of focus more on the planting element as well, and creating like the actual kind of habitat and environment. Because obviously a lot of beekeepers, they send out like seeds with the honey as well. And, you know, it all feeds into one another. So I would just kind of like to cover a broader subject, I guess, on the page, and just meet more people. Because it may end up being like 2020, where with all the rules, it's not possible. But yeah, I'm definitely hoping to meet some new faces. Like with Simon at Noble Bees, I kept saying I'd go see him, and then the guys at the Wye Valley as well. The meeting.
You're ruining my whole lineup now. We've got those guys in a couple of weeks as well. Now, well, it's because we follow the same people, but yeah.
I'm really bad with them messaging. I think they've messaged a couple times. I'm just, my reply rate to people is terrible. So I should probably reply to them before you speak to them.
Fair enough. And so obviously, if people want to get their honey in the 2021 cupboard, if they're only going to be harvesting in August or later on in the season, should people still be contacting you and seeing if there's opportunity to get their honeys online?
Yeah, definitely. Like I think it, last year, kind of everyone was sending in until, I think it was the end of August, maybe even early September, before I actually went up to get all the honeys photographed. So definitely, any time in the season, people can send in. And literally just give me a message on Instagram, and then like a few details about themselves, where their hives are, why they started beekeeping, and then just send in literally like one jar of honey so I can get it photographed. And yeah, that's it basically. Try to make it as straightforward as possible. There's no form filling, nothing like that.
Then I'm just trying to think what else. What else have we got here? I mean, I did go on your Instagram, and one of the bits that I liked was, "How do you know if the honey you are eating is great honey produced by an ethical beekeeper?" Can you remember what your answer to that question was?
I'm pretty sure I just said you need to go out and meet them.
Yeah, you've done well there. You've
A
done
while
well
ago.
there. Essentially, and that really struck a chord with me. And I think that is so true. It's if you're just opening the cupboard and eating what's there, how do you know where it's come from? How do you know how it's being produced and how the bees are being looked after? And I think that's just really key, just getting to know the beekeeper. And I know everyone around here who I've been selling honey to, they've absolutely loved just having those conversations about, oh, okay, the bees, and just asking a little bit more about the honey and understanding that.
Yeah.
And one of the other questions that you would put on Instagram, which is interesting, is why is it unlikely that a big supermarket will stock honey from a single British apiary? Do you remember
Yeah,
that
because
one?
this is like a big thing for me because I work in retail and merchandising. I mean, I'm very much involved in the process of buying products to go into shops. So it's a hard one because because as a buyer, as a merchandiser of these products, basically you're always targeted that you have to have them in stock. You can't have missed sales opportunities. So if someone is to say a product is going to be in and out during the season, in terms of it's so lame, but in terms of keeping, consistent profit through a season, it basically immediately will get dismissed. So, that's why kind of the shelves have the same type of brands there because they offer that consistency. Obviously, it needs to be questioned how they can be that consistent all year round, and what's in them. But yeah, I think it would be amazing if at some point a supermarket, could look further than the profit and would actually stock some British honeys. I think like certain supermarkets work towards it. They'll have like a small section now that says support local, but normally those brands are still very established. So yeah, I would love it if somewhere down the line I could, because I am fortunate enough to kind of know the buying process, if I could work with a supermarket to try and get some honey in at some point. Haven't quite figured it out, but that would be great.
And I think that's such an important message that I wanted to bring out into this interview. And I think it's just a huge point that's overlooked that, oh, I'll go to the supermarket and I'll get honey and the honey is honey. But yeah, that honey for that consistency piece, it's well, how many other honeys has it been blended with to get it the same appearance? And I harvested twice last year and the different colours of those honeys were one was really light and the other one was really dark. A supermarket isn't necessarily going to want that because the whole taste, smell, appearance, and when that changes, people aren't going to pick it up again, or people are going to be picking up the phone to the helpline saying, "This one's so different to the one that I had before. I like the other one and I don't like this one." And I suppose that's why I want people to know about the website. I want people to know about the Instagram page because if we're able to point consumers to that local beekeeper, and actually, if they've got questions about the taste and yeah, the flavor and why it's so different, then actually they know where they can get those answers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's cutting out the middleman as well, I think, in the process. It's just, yeah, so much easier if you can connect directly.
So hopefully people get a good sense of why we've ha had you come on today, and we've done our first bonus episode with a non-beekeeper on a beekeeping podcast. But yeah, like I said, people really should be understanding this. I think more than ever, when speaking for myself, we're trying more than ever to get the local product where we can. We signed up to our local poultry farm, and so we're getting fortnightly delivery of the eggs, and we know that those eggs only come a certain number of miles away from us, and we're supporting that local business. And hopefully there'll be a number of other people out there that continue that as hopefully lockdown eases, or if we're out of lockdown when we launch this one, that people maintain that focus on supporting the local producers and looking for it and actually trying to find that quality product which they're really going to enjoy.
I hope so. I think definitely people have gained interest in this last year, and are perhaps willing to spend a bit more money, on buying local. So fingers crossed that they do.
Definitely. So the format for a usual podcast with the beekeepers, it's around what are your beekeeping jobs for the week ahead? But obviously you said that things will be kicking off again in March. Let's keep it a little bit more open-ended. What are your British honey shop jobs for the next couple of weeks?
So realistically, I'll do a lot of beekeeping stalking. I'll just punch in all the hashtags into Instagram and see if I can find maybe because of COVID, I'm finding there are a lot of people that have joined up to Instagram and are now starting to kind of document their beekeeping journey. So I want to make a list of kind of the new accounts that have popped up and give them a message and kind of just introduce myself and say whether they'd maybe want to get involved next year. And then, yeah, just make a list of other people that could meet up with and potentially collaborate with. Like I said, for me, cooking is a huge thing. I know a lot of chefs will use, proper British honey. So I would absolutely love to maybe do some videos with some chefs or something, just to show other ways that you can use honey. You don't just have to use it when you're poorly in the middle of winter. You can use it in your everyday life. So I would love to do that because to me, that's a great use of honey. So yeah, just
Definitely.
find people and chat to people basically and.
Yeah, and I the connection with the chef I've got as a local chef here who bought 5 jars of me. He bought 2 in the first run and he came back for another 3. So yeah, the clearly chef's trying to make sure that they're getting that local produce as well. My bit of advice for people that are listening, don't wait for Bridie to message you. Make sure you head over to Instagram, look for the British Honey Shop. Send her a message, get the ball rolling. If you don't get a harvest this year or it's not as big as you wish, don't worry, that's not going to be an issue. But I think it's just key to make sure as beekeepers we're making it as easy as possible to get our local consumers buying our product. So Bridie, with that, I'm so appreciative of you giving up your time and joining me today. I really hope people have enjoyed listening to this as much as I have hosting it. So thank you once again for joining today.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It's been good to chat.
All right, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to join me today for the Paddock Bees podcast. I really hope you found it useful. I'd love for you to come back and give me some feedback. So head over to Instagram and send me a direct message or email me on paddockbees@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want to hear about. So please don't hesitate to give me your thoughts. Once again, thanks for joining. See you next time. Bye.